Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. We are pretty happy over here. The international break is finally over. Back to some Barca football. My name is Adam.
And I'm Yusuf. So please start us off. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Spotify, Twitter,
Instagram
at Barca Breakdown. Interact with us, please. You know, leave us any comments you like. Direct messages we'll respond to. We'd love to interact with you guys.
Yeah, if you guys want to leave us a review, put it in a question there. We'll answer it on the next
Definitely.
Pod. Getting some more listener interaction. But great game against Eibar today. We're very happy. Let's start, you know, before we break it down, let's go over what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk about the Eibar game away. Then we're going to break into some of the Clasico issues, the Catalonian rulings that came down on some of the Catalonian politicians this last week and how that affected the Clasico being suspended, as well as some awards some of our players won and are up for. So getting into the game against Eibar, you know, an away game after the international break, was a little bit worried. The starting lineup, Messi, Griezmann, Suarez up front with Dembele out. It seemed pretty natural that we would see those three.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the midfield, we went back to the Arthur, Busquets, Frankie de Jong. And then we had Roberto as the right back, Alba left back. And then first game since May, Sam Umtiti, along with the French wall, Clem Lenglet.
Is that the new name for him, the French
that
wall?
That is the new name. So based off the starting lineup, any initial thoughts you had going into the game?
I'd like to see Umtiti come back. That's positive. We do need that reaffirmation of having the center backs getting some rest, rotations with Piqué. Alba returning is also great. That's definitely a point that we've had a little struggling with, where we had Semedo even covering for that position.
And Mr. Injured Firpo.
Yeah, of course.
But
overall, I mean, I expected a general lineup as this. The Umtiti thing is the biggest thing, I think, threw me for a loop.
True, but with Piqué being suspended,
yeah.
Right, we had to either go Umtiti or Todibo, and with Todibo going off with cramps in the last game,
that
seemed like
thing.
It was a good time to slip in Umtiti.
Yeah.
I thought overall, I don't know if I was surprised necessarily, but Arthur, Busquets, De Jong is interesting because before the international break, we had kind of seen Vidal in for Busquets as the standard starting three. And so, you know, kind of something we've been talking about as a theme since last season is that we want to see a team that is able to not have a starting 11 that's going to be there every game, right? We wanted to see Valverde have some sort of tactical flexibility. So with a team like Eibar that had a high press and it was going to be a more open game than some of the other La Liga teams who might just sit back and hope to score on the counter, you know, I think tactically we're going to try to analyze more which midfielders and right back that Valverde wants to start when, you know, we play different teams. And so interesting this game that he went with Busquets. And then up front, I thought with Messi, Suarez, Griezmann, it was about what I expected because with Dembele suspended for that Laos incident,
bad.
Which we've gone enough over. Let's not get into too much Laos this game. But seeing Griezmann as a left wing was about what I expected. I thought, you know, kind of transitioning into the game, it was interesting because instead of being a 4-3-3, that first half seemed to be a little bit more of a 4-4-2
mm-hmm.
with Griezmann, you know, tracking back so much. You know, we've gone at length to talk about how Griezmann is not a natural left winger, but at the same time, I've kind of pushed back against the narrative that he hasn't fit in, and today we saw him have a wonderful game. But yeah, it was kind of a more 4-4-2, you know. I think overall in the first half, I saw a lot more of Messi and Suarez one-on-one with the goalkeeper or two-on-two with the, you know, two defenders mm-hmm. and the goalkeeper.
Way more open.
Yeah, definitely way more open of a game. So, you know, that first half, the first 15 minutes were actually probably the most scary part of the game, I thought.
I would agree with you. There were a lot of mistakes. And at that time, that's when Eibar had most of their shots on goal. While it was only like two, I think, almost total in the whole game.
There were some crosses that went in
yeah.
there. That, you know,
they were scary.
If they had some better positioning.
I mean, Umtiti barely headed that one cross
True.
In that saved it. Which
there was also the one that came in from the left flank that basically,
yes.
you know, could have been connected,
mm-hmm.
but no player was there. Yeah, you know, I think overall, you guys who saw the game and are hearing the elation in our voice will know that it was a very positive game. That first 15 minutes was a little bit rocky. Throughout the game, the only issue I really saw was that we were a little bit careless in clearing the ball from the, you know, from our defensive end to the offensive end. We had some times where Busquets, even Arthur, who generally had a great game. You know, they had some moments where it seemed like they were clearing the ball straight to a defender. So that's something we need to clean up. Again, though, we're coming off a two-week international break, so that's to be expected. The first goal, wow, the French connection.
I haven't seen Lenglet make a pass like that. I don't think so far.
True. What was it? I think the right back of Eibar kind of had a Firpo moment and he slipped, right? Which put Griezmann one-on-one. But that's what we want to see. When people are saying that we want to see Griezmann as a striker, not a left winger, we want to see him up front getting balls because he is such a clinical finisher, right? The goalie even got Lenglet played a long ball. Griezmann got one-on-one with the keeper coming from the left side. Yeah, the goalie even touched the ball and still went in. You know, so it's good to see Griezmann get on the board.
Not only that, but he's been on the board four times now.
True.
He's the second leading scorer on Barcelona.
Yeah. That's totally true. Yeah. And again, I've been kind of defending Griezmann, saying he's not playing poorly, but there is a narrative out there in the press and in the media that Griezmann isn't fitting in. So every time he has a chance to score, especially when it's Messi, Griezmann, Suarez, I think is just going to help him gain confidence. Overall, there was an interesting dynamic because we haven't seen a lot of Alba Griezmann connect because Alba's been hurt. And so, you know, we love this, right? Last game against Sevilla, Semedo had a great job playing in that left back Alba position. Firpo, you know, had that rocky first game, but came through. But, you know, overall, Jordi Alba, when he's playing at his peak, is our best left back by far and one of the best left backs in the world. We had kind of been worried since Anfield, right? Jordi Alba hasn't been at the peak of his game. I thought he looked good returning from injury, and I was very surprised to see him play a full 90. So, you know, I think that means that he was basically back ready 2 weeks ago and spent this whole international break just getting fully into fitness, and seeing him be able to play a full 90 minutes was encouraging.
Well, not just that, but he didn't look like Alba from last season. He looked way faster. Mm-hmm. He looked
like
his
he had
connections.
Hunger.
Yeah, for sure. His passes are connecting with Griezmann. He even had a good connection with Messi in the middle, which that's an age-old tale, Alba, Messi, but overall, really good first half. Like you said, there were some slip-ups. You know, again, two-week break. It's okay to come back. We make mistakes. We warm up. At least it's only against Eibar. They're not so high on the list. I think we said before this pod, they're in the 14th.
Yep.
That's another 3 points for us anyway, and I'm glad that we even had some rest in players coming into the second half.
True. I thought, you know, even though there were some shaky clearances, overall, I mean, Lenglet is just proving to be maybe the biggest steal of the last, like, 10 years, right? He's just been incredible.
For sure.
We got him for, I think, around $30 million, and he's just proven to be, I think, one of the best center backs in the world, right? I mean, to come into a squad that had won the World Cup and to become a starter immediately, obviously the Umtiti issues played a part in it. He's just, you can't say anything better about the guy. He's just really a wall in the back. And then Umtiti looked pretty good, right? I mean, early on, I saw some moments where it didn't look like he had that speed back, but hey, he's been injured for months. He's got knee issues, right?
He just got the clearance,
like 2 days ago. Yeah. So overall, I was pretty happy with his performance. Like you said, in the first half, he had a great header to clear the ball. He also had some moments where he was, you know, stopping some offensive attacks. Clearly not to his 100% form, but hey, you know, we went from 3 weeks ago to thinking we're having all these issues with center back depth. True. And now Umtiti's back. Todibo, we saw, played fairly well last game besides his whole cramp issue. Araujo got the red, but also looks like he can be a suitable center back for some of these lower-tier La Liga teams. So pretty happy. You know, when a player like Pique, who is so instrumental so often, misses a game, you're coming back from an international break, there's a chance for the defense to be groggy. We got a clean sheet. Mm. And, you know, your whole Zamora-Stegen obsession
it would have to go so well. It would have to be the perfect season. It would be like 2 years ago when we didn't lose for the first,
37 games.
Yeah. And I don't think that's going to happen with clean sheet or a lot of clean sheets.
True. But, you know, going into the second half, a little bit sad. Sergio Roberto was subbed off because of some knee issues. The verdict is still out about what the injury is, but we saw Semedo come on. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the season. We're talking about it now. Semedo's getting chances to play. I just hope that he keeps improving.
I think the big thing is this game. He had very good defensive play, But his offense, it wasn't awful. It just wasn't very present.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, I think Semedo showed us like kind of what we always say, which is that he's a good player. Offensively, he could use some work to gel with the team. Has a little bit of a hard time connecting with Messi because Messi moves so centrally. But hopefully it's a work in progress and we'll see some better movement.
Well, what did you think about Messi coming back with a great goal again, two games in a row now?
Boom. So excited. Come on. Messi scoring always gets me jazzed up. You know, it was a beautiful pass from Frankie De Jong. Sure. I think it was somewhere in the 60th minute, around there, maybe the 50s. Great pass from Frankie to Suarez. Suarez passed it to Griezmann, and then Griezmann did a little one pass to Messi. Boom. Clear as day.
It was so great that they were all three touched the ball.
Yes.
All three were in the box, and it created, like, that's exactly what you want to see, is these three attackers in the front, we're pushing, we're forcing the defense to break, we're the goalie doesn't know where to go, because we're all perfectly set up. I just couldn't have been happier with the little touches, the passes, the connection. It seemed like they're getting their groove in, finally.
True. I think it reminded all fans of the, you know, Neymar-Suarez-Messi connection. Obviously, Suarez isn't as high as he used to be. Obviously, Neymar is a better left winger than Griezmann, but overall, looked really good.
But if we're going to talk about Suarez, I mean, today he looked
way
better than he has this whole season, really.
And kind of like we were talking about during the game, the one thing I want to emphasize is that this is Luis Suarez not going to Uruguay for international break, spending the time to warm up, getting rest, getting his match fitness up. He's growing into the season, as he always does, so some of the earlier criticisms I had of him might have been too early, and I feel a little bad. But if this is a Luis Suarez we're going to get this season, that's great. The only thing we did talk about is that I hope that Valverde sees this not as Suarez's permanent form, but Suarez who is rested, right? Because he's able to rest, he's able to give this type of performance. So one thing, you know, is that I hope this season we do more load management, right? For two reasons. One is because we all want to see Griezmann, Dembele, Messi with Griezmann as the front striker and see him in his natural position. The other thing is that I want to see Valverde take a more proactive approach to resting players. Last season we were happy because it felt like two seasons ago he didn't rest a lot of our players before big games. Last season he did a lot in those late Champions League games, quarterfinals, semis.
But it's only like one game.
Exactly.
Rest,
yeah. He did a good job of resting players for the game before. This year, I want to see a more proactive approach to rest players throughout the season so that they can be in their best form and not rely on, okay, we've played, you know, 20 games in a row and now we're going to get 90 minutes of rest before the big game of the season. This year, we need to try and use our depth to our advantage and, you know, swap out some players so that, you know, Messi and Suarez don't just rest, again, that 90 minutes before the big game.
Well, we have that opportunity now. As of before, I don't think we had those players to sub in, and it wasn't like a very confident player if we would sub them in. We're like, oh, okay.
Coutinho.
Yeah. We had some, who was it in the front? Two seasons ago. Paco. Yeah. So he was kind of like a iffy guy. He'd come in and maybe do something, but wasn't really reliable. Now you got Dembele, Griezmann, Messi, Suarez, and Perez as well.
True.
Who we can
Ansu
put in.
Ansu Fati as well. So, yeah, I think you're right. We did add some depth. And so that's just the big thing here is I hope Valverde internalizes this as this is a rested Suarez, not this is Suarez permanently, so that we don't see him kind of overused and overrun to the ground throughout the season. Speaking of that, right? Suarez got the third goal, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was a beautiful pass from Griezmann to Messi, and then Messi had a chance to score a second, but being selfless, gave the ball over to Suarez for an easy tap-in. Like I was saying, it reminded a lot of people of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. And in fact, there's a very famous game I think a lot of us remember when Messi, Suarez, and Neymar scored for the first time, and they had that great unison run. It was my background picture on my desktop for a long time where they were all hugging each other. Didn't exactly see that warmth today, but seeing all three of Griezmann, Suarez, and Messi score was beautiful. Again, right, Griezmann had that great assist to Messi. He also had some great interplay with passing the ball forward to Messi so he could assist to Suarez. And so, you know, I think definitely up there with man of the match with De Jong and Messi. And it's great to see Griezmann provide that defensive work rate. I think that's the big difference, right? So we have drawn a lot of parallels between Coutinho and Griezmann and how it looks like Valverde is kind of playing them out of position on that left wing because we have Dembele either injured or suspended.
But
yeah, sorry.
But his defensive work rate.
Yeah, but his defensive work rate is what's gonna It's what's gonna set him apart from Coutinho, because even in the games where Griezmann might not do score a goal or assist, he is still going to provide that defensive work rate that Coutinho didn't. So even if he's not able to provide the offensive contribution like Coutinho last year, he's going to make up a lot for it in defense.
True. I mean, if you looked at this game, he was in the corner of our defense like many times. He just has this drive to make sure that he's putting pressure on the offense at any time, because he knows the capabilities of what he can do, and he has the energy to work the ball both sides.
Yeah, and all game, and he's fast. He's fast, right? That was one thing. Like, there were certain times when Coutinho would be up against a right or left back of La Liga defenders last season, and he just couldn't outrun them, mm-hmm. whereas Griezmann has that pace. And so it's very exciting to see he's bringing some of that Simeone defensive mindset to Barca, which is something we need, especially when Messi and Suarez aren't going to press as much as maybe the tactical formation of Valverde would need. Mm-hmm. And so having him out there as that workhorse is really awesome.
It's also great to see FDJ making some of these great runs, passes. He has had two step-over plays. One of them he passed right into Suarez, and Suarez took a beautiful shot. Unfortunately, it wasn't well-placed. But overall, FDJ is just looking really good. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, he is a monster, man. I mean, you know, it's almost to the levels of Mbappe was like 2 years ago in terms of the adulation he's getting from coaches, from mm-hmm. fans, from the media. I mean, already people are saying he's one of the best midfielders in the world, and they're saying he's one of the best now. He's going to be the best in the world very soon, if not, you know, this season. There was some, you know, did he get an ovation from the away Eibar fan or the home Eibar fans? It looked like they were applauding for one of their other players being subbed at the same time, but I mean, hey, even if they were doing it for De Jong, he deserved it. He looked just great. He's, you know, we had talked about it a lot, how he's more of a defensive holding midfielder, kind of that Busquets role. But, you know, he looks very fluid out there. It seems like him and Arthur are kind of moving. You know, sometimes you'll see De Jong as a pivot in the back. Sometimes mm-hmm. he's pushing forward to try and connect with the players. Overall, I just think he's really looking for Messi a lot, and I can't wait to see that
unfold.
Playing a relationship. Yeah, develop and unfold.
For sure. I was kind of bummed to see that he got subbed out, but to go back to your point about the resting, it kind of makes sense. I mean, Rakitic came in for FDJ and Vidal came in for Arthur, which is good. We should get some of these, you know, players to rest.
Especially with a big Champions League game.
Champions League next week.
I mean, not a
week.
Big Champions League game, but an away Champions League game where we have to travel a far distance. It's good to give them. I thought it was smart by Valverde. It was good to give Arthur and Frankie some playing time before, after the international break and before the Champions League game, but also don't need to play them the full game so they have some rested legs, especially when we're up 2-0.
Exactly. And there was really, if we added Rakitic and Vidal, Vidal's usually more offensive, but he's good at controlling the ball, which adds a little more defense to our play. So I think it was also kind of a strategical defensive choice so that we would just keep our clean sheet.
Sure. Arthur also looked good. You know, there's just certain times when he gets the ball and, you know, wants to just run around the defense, create openings. Yeah. You know, he does a lot of side-to-side runs where he's, you know, being pressed by the opposing midfielders and he's trying to, you know, wiggle free, get the ball out to a winger and get us an open play. Overall, we had some great open play. You know, like there were balls going forward. Like I said at the beginning of this pod, there was Messi and Griezmann, you know, 2-on-2 with the defenders trying to press the defense, right? You think about it, the Griezmann goal was a 1-on-1. The Messi goal was basically a bunch of great interplay right near the goalkeeper to get the scoring. And then Messi and Suarez again were 1-on-1 with the goalie and, you know, put it away. So even though we had a good narrative before the international break where the team was winning and keeping clean sheets and scoring goals, it did seem like this game was good in that same fashion, but also there was a different offensive mindset. And so against Eibar, who are going to press high and, you know, really try to go at us, it seemed like we had a good tactical setup to win the game.
Yeah, with the open play, we even saw Griezmann kind of getting upset that he wasn't receiving the ball early enough, right? Because he had an opportunity to make a run, and
Arthur held on to it. Yeah.
And that's the problem with Arthur sometimes when he's doing these weird little side-to-side runs that takes too long. It kind of slows down the offense. And Griezmann seemed visibly disturbed by it.
True, and I like that. You know, as much as we always throw on the praise to Arthur and Frankie, they're young, and I think we need players out there who are going to chastise them when they're not making optimal plays. Not because they're doing bad, but because we have such high expectations. We want them to reach those great heights. And, you know, when you're a younger player and you're getting all this adulation, I think sometimes it can make you kind of get a big head and not continuously improve. So, you know, it's cool to see Griezmann finding his place in the team and feeling confident enough to, you know, kind of yell over to his teammate who's been there longer than him at Barca, who's, you know, been playing very well. It's good to see Griezmann kind of light that fire into everyone. That was a big thing that we talked about preseason when we got Griezmann, is that we hoped he had that fire as someone who's lost two Champions League finals and wants to win one, that he would bring an extra oomph to the team to, you know, push everyone.
I agree. And, like, we want Griezmann and other, you know, older players that are more experienced to say these things, because then that puts that thought in the mindset of these players in other games where it's a similar situation. I'm sure we will have those situations where maybe they second think and be like, oh, I should pass this forward, and we need that. That's especially in open play, that, like, this game, this was, if we're countering a team that's we're not up 2-0 or whatever it is, maybe we're 0-0 or 1-0, we can't give up those opportunities.
True,
it's just too
important. All the chances matter, right?
Yeah.
You know, not to speak about Anfield, which we do every single podcast, but, you know, we score one goal in that game. It's huge, right? So we need to prepare ourselves now so that we're not giving an inch. You know, we're always on the attack, looking to score, looking to play the optimal pass.
Which we need to maintain in these Champions League games especially, because these are do-or-die situations for the most part. We don't have many opportunities to mess up, while in La Liga, if we drop a point or two points or whatever it is, it is a big deal, but we have many more games to make up for. In some of these Champions League games, we can't do that. Those mistakes are almost immediately felt.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, you know, getting on to, we haven't spoken about Messi too much. He's still getting into his groove, you know, getting fully fit. He looks good, man. Overall, his dribbles this season have been great. Obviously, it's Lionel Messi, the greatest dribbler of ball of all time, so he's going to have that. But there even seems to be an extra oomph lately. Seems like, you know, his final pass to Frankie could use some work. His trust of Griezmann, I think, could also use a little bit of work. But overall, really happy with his dribbles. He's been very elusive, kind of running through the defense, creating opportunities on the left and the right of him. He almost scored 2-3, right? He could have scored the goal when he passed it to Suarez instead, and he got the assist. He had that one-on-one with the goalkeeper where he tried to round him and the ball, unfortunately.
I was so mad about
that. True. I mean, overall, it seemed like the pitch was really slippery, and we saw a few Eibar players slip. And so, yeah, it just looked like his right foot slipped farther than he thought, and then the ball hit it. And he almost passed to Griezmann for a goal, so... overall, really happy with Messi. Glad to see him score in another game. You know, hopefully we can get him up to his normal insane goal-scoring machine.
I agree, and we're going to need it coming up to this Champions League game against Praha on Wednesday. Do you have any predictions for that game coming up?
Yeah, I think we're going to win 3-0.
3-0 away?
Yep.
Okay.
I think we're going to see Messi score twice, and we're going to see Suarez score once.
I think I'm going to
get a nice little Suarez away goal.
I hope so. I really do. I hope if this is
everyone
the narrative,
does, right?
Well,
I think
everyone
listening to this,
if that's
is
the
like,
narrative,
please, Luis.
No, we'll see. I'll go with 2-0. And did you say Messi Suarez?
Yeah, Messi twice.
I'm going to go Messi Griezmann.
Well, okay, let's talk about this, right? I like your prediction. Again, we're too happy in predicting, you know, clean sheets and.
But this is the worst team in our group, so.
True, it's away though. It's a far travel, which kind of throws players off. What do you think will be the front three in midfield for that game? Because Dembele is only suspended in La Liga, so he is available.
Ooh. That is a good question. The midfield, I'm gonna go with the same midfield as today: Arthur, FDJ, and Busquets, and then in the front. Dang, that was a good question. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Well, I guess to go in, I think we're going to see the Vidal, Frankie, Arthur. So I think we're going to see Vidal in for Busquets. And then once we get a lead, we'll see Busquets subbed in to kind of hold the game. And then for the front three, I think we will see Messi, Suarez, Dembele. I think we'll see Dembouz get in, and then we'll see...
there might even be a sub later, I think.
True, but yeah. I think for the starting three, that's what we're going to see. So now that you've had some time...
I think I'm just going to stick with Griezmann starting.
Why?
I think he needs more time to play with Messi and Suarez and kind of get the connections better. I mean, today we saw some great connections between them, but Champions League's a little different. And I think Griezmann in Champions League hasn't done all too much. I think most of his goals or all of his goals have been in La Liga. I think he needs an opportunity to play in that and try to kind of come out, especially away, and show that he comes up in these Champions League games.
My thinking is that before the international break and the suspension for Dembouz, it did seem like Valverde was favoring the Dembele, Messi, Suarez front three. And so I think he's going to give that a little more time to prove itself as the main three. Again, though, we've spoken so much about our negatives of Valverde. One interesting thing this year is that he is being very fluid with his choice of, starters, right? So we had the whole period where we thought Arthur, Busquets, De Jong was the front three, and then Vidal had that great game, great sub against Inter Milan, and then there was the Vidal, Arthur, De Jong midfield, and then today he went back to Busquets. So, I think he is being very dynamic and not sticking to like a Gala 11, as they call it. And so, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will kind of ride the heat wave we had today and hope that Messi, Griezmann, and Suarez will do well. On the other end, I think that, if he doesn't play Dembele today, that will mean that Dembele had 2 weeks off for international break. He didn't play today. He won't play midweek. And then he's suspended for the next La Liga game, which, if you remember, we don't have a Clasico next week. Mm-hmm. So I think the next league game isn't for 2 weeks.
Shoot, that is right? A long time.
So,
if
you don't have Dembele play against Prague, that means he wouldn't have like a competitive game for a month almost.
I'm not saying he won't play, though. He might be subbed in, is what I was thinking. But you're right. I mean, we do have to have him have time playing. Unfortunately, Laouz, I tongue-tied just speaking the man's name.
We're trying to speak in tongues to get the devil out of here.
No. Yeah, unfortunately, Laouz's red card really threw our game off with that. It's really bothersome that we have to even consider this to be one of our dilemmas, right? We've had all these other issues happen, injuries, and just like uncommon... We had to play uncommon lineups. True. And so once we got used to that dynamic movement of that, we have to like kind of solidify what we're going to do now. And it's hard to call what Valverde's trying to do half the time. I don't know. Like, we haven't necessarily figured out his breakdown of what starters to play during what games because it's so fluid. And we had so many injuries.
And we also, just to be very honest here, we don't know the most about this Prague team, right? We'll do some more research before the game midweek so that we can kind of talk about, how they are and how it turned out that Valverde chose the lineup he ends up choosing. But we don't necessarily know a bunch about the Prague team, right? I guess at home against Barcelona in the Champions League, I feel like they will just go for it. And so I feel like it'll be a more open game, which, today we thought it was going to be a more open game. So we played Griezmann, but we didn't have Dembele. So I think when the game's going to be more open and we'll have a lot of chances to get, kind of those runaway 3v2s, 3v3s, I think he'll favor Dembouz.
I just think this is the team that's in the bottom of the Champions League group stage for us, and I don't think we're going to have too much of a problem with them. So that almost leaves the idea like how serious... I mean, hopefully Valverde is taking this game extremely seriously and does not underpredict how well we need to come out and play, because we have seen him do things that or make decisions that negatively affect our team during that game, and we just drop points or... draw for no reason. Champions League, it's kind of important because we're tied with Dortmund right now. We beat Inter Milan, and Prague is not doing so well. So,
But I just double checked the dates, and so if we didn't start Dembele against Prague, he wouldn't start a game between October 6th and at the earliest November 2nd. So I think you
a
know,
whole month.
Yeah, I think he'll start Dembele, but you know, we'll come and see. Hopefully, we'll have a great game, great podcast on Wednesday. Really celebrating the Champions League.
Yeah, I agree. We did talk about last pod when we made our predictions during the international break that Dembele will be missing the Clásico due to his suspension. But now the Clásico is being shifted probably to December 18th. So I'm pretty excited about that because then Dembele can play in that game and we wanted to see that.
That is the kind of golden lining. And let's get into why the Clásico was suspended, right? So basically, you know, we're not Spanish, but at the same time, right, part of the Més que un club motto of Barcelona is that the team stands for more than just a soccer team, right? A lot of its history and the pride that the people have in the team is that it stands for, you know, Catalonian ability to speak freely, to think freely, right? And last week what happened was that Spain's Supreme Court gave down some prison terms for, if you remember, in 27, there was a referendum in Catalonia to vote on independence and to break away from Spain. The Spanish government really thought it was illegal, and they arrested some of the political leaders. And then finally, to last week, they came down and gave the prison sentence, and they gave the former deputy leader of Catalonia a 13-year in prison. So these people who granted, you know, again, we're not Spanish. We don't really, you know, have necessarily the full perspective of someone who lives there and has to go through this experience. But 13 years in prison for doing this referendum, which is like longer than I think you'd get for raping someone, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we see a lot of social media posts, which can be misleading and putting forward an agenda. But as an American, right, in my opinion and what I've seen about the issue in Spain is that, you know, we would never, as Americans, right, if part of the country wanted to separate, it would be not something we would be in favor of or let happen necessarily. But at the same time, man, you see some of these police, the Spanish police coming out, beating people, pushing women, just hitting people who are being peaceful protesters.
And defenseless.
Yeah. And it's pretty crazy. You know, without making any comment on whether or not Catalonia should be independent, the way the Spanish government has handled the situation has really just been a lot of oppression, has been a lack of any sort of willingness to have a dialogue, you know?
True.
Piqué is kind of the Barca player who I feel like is the most outspoken about this subject. And even he doesn't really try to he never tries to say, I want Catalonia to be independent or not. He really just says, I want to have the ability to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a democracy, you should have the ability to make your thoughts known without having to be beaten or opposed.
Just in fear of, you know, speaking your mind, right?
Yeah.
These people should, even FC Barcelona, posted on Twitter the letter saying that, you know, prison is not the answer. This is not going to solve our problems. You're not understanding us. Obviously, you're just, you know, inflicting some kind of punishment based on our own want to just be able to free think.
Yeah.
But,
and so, as a result of all this unrest, there have been a lot of protests in Barcelona. And so, La Liga was worried that the game next weekend against the Clásico against Madrid would have been too political.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they kind of wanted to get some of the heat off. You know, it's a sporting event, right? It's a team. In the United States, we've recently seen this similar type of issue come up with Maury from the Rockets GM and his speaking out against
China.
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And so as a business decision, I understand why they suspended it, right? You don't, you know, when you're trying to cultivate viewers across the world, the biggest game in the world annually is the Clásico. I understand why they put it off. So it looks like the game will be pushed back to December 18th. I think tomorrow we'll get the official answer. I think the only really good thing we get out of it is that we will see Dembele play.
True. I'm excited.
He hasn't. We talked about this on the last two pods, but he really hasn't played that many Clásicos since he's been here. I want to see him just making Ramos a fool.
What do you think? Hat trick from Dembouz?
10. 15 goals, hopefully.
That'd be funny. And then Dembouz puts up the five fingers just to throw it in their face. Yeah,
that would be sweet.
Well, let's roll into some of the awards.
True. Messi.
Golden Boot Boy, sixth time.
Yes, third in a row, man.
Yep.
I mean, I could talk to you about Lionel Messi for 10 years and not get tired of it. It's just great to see him win another award, the most ever Golden Boots. You know, it's crazy that he once won it with scoring 50 goals in La Liga season, right? This one's 34. Just a great season. We all saw him win the best award. We hope he wins the Ballon d'Or. But you know what? He won another Golden Boot. Playing as a midfielder, right? All of us who watch this game see what he does week in and week out. And he played a lot of last season as a midfielder, creating all of our offense and still scored the most goals amongst any.
He's just spectacular. There's no other definition to the man, really.
He's just greatness personified.
Yeah. I mean, we could be stroking Messi all day. Yeah. You know, like it's not a surprise.
No.
He deserves it. He's done the work. He's shown everybody that he's the best in the world. He's ranked, and we talked about this last time, he's ranked the best player, unquestionably, by a large margin, right?
Yeah.
There's just no other thing you can... I don't know how he hasn't won more awards, right?
True.
Like, last year, there was some...
Modric.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's not make this just complaints about the Madrid media and the pro CR7 media raging... erection they have for him, right? I mean, you know, BR football, the most pro Ronaldo thing out there. Anyways, let's not get lost in that. Let's rise above and just say, great job, Lionel Messi.
Yeah, let's move on before we get too far in this ship.
Yeah.
Vati got in the top 20
Vati
running.
Mania.
Yep, top 20 running for the Golden Boy Award.
And he wasn't
even
the top 40.
And what was it, Todibo? Or,
yeah, Todibo didn't make the cut.
He was in the top 40 first, and Fati was not in the top 40. And then Todibo dropped out and Fati in the top 20, which is kind of really random. But
I understand. Todibo hardly plays, right?
Yeah,
but Fati,
pew! I mean, hopefully we'll see more of him, but I doubt in any coming games, like in the next five games.
I'd bet you some money on that. I think we'll see him probably against, like, Levante. I could see him coming out. I mean, it's not like, you know, Fati's play was necessitated by so many injuries.
That's very true.
But it's not like now that we have people back, we're just going to put him forever on the bench. So hopefully we'll see him play. It's good to see him get some positive press. And, you know, we're all there to support him and hope he thrives.
The man is still 16. Give him time, you know.
Give him time. All right. Well, you know, this was an afternoon La Liga game, which comes on at 4 a.m. Pacific time where we are in Southern California. So we had to watch it on a little bit of a delay, but it was worth the wait.
Definitely.
Was a wonderful game. We're happy to see club football back. A little bit sad the Clásico is not coming up, but we got some big games against Prague in the Champions League, and we hope to talk to you guys on Wednesday after a victory.
We'll see you Wednesday.